Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So on Friday, good news. Our good friend of the show, Jerry Oleksiak, the president of the Pennsylvania State Education Association, is being named as Secretary of the Department of Labor. And look, this is a huge thing in my opinion, because you look at Governor Wolf's commitment to education. This, again, puts that front and center, that you're going to have an education guy, a labor guy in charge of the Department of Labor. Again, big, big news in my opinion. Here to talk about that and where the Pennsylvania State Education Association is going to go forward. We've asked the person who's going to replace Jerry to come talk with us. Doris McCracken is currently the vice president there at PSEA and will soon ascend to the presidency. Dolores, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much for having the time to talk to PSEA.
So, you know, I look at this and, you know, look, Jerry's been a good friend of the show over the years, and I'm thrilled for him. And I'm thrilled for the state because I think good guy in an important position.
Jerry Oleksiak was made for this position. He has spent his entire career working to help children, working for to further promote public education. He protects the working people. He was made for this position, and we could not be more proud to have someone like Jerry Oleksiak fill that position as Secretary of Labor.
Now, I think this speaks volumes about your organization, that the governor would choose Jerry, and I think it speaks volumes about the governor that and his commitment to education.
I think the governor, having taken the time to actually get to know Jerry Oleksiak, know what Jerry stands for, the governor made an excellent choice. The governor made a choice that all the citizens of Pennsylvania will benefit from. And PSEA, our members, Jerry was a little concerned that our members would feel disappointed that he was leaving us, but it was the absolute opposite of that. They are just so very proud of him.
Now, again, as I said, this is good news, I think, for workers in this state, but obviously there's going to be a void there. Under your leadership, where do you see things going?
I believe PSEA will continue on the path that we've been on. We have a lot of work ahead of us. We've accomplished a lot, but we need to continue. As you are well aware, there has been a movement in this country to devalue the work that educators do, to have the public believe that public education is failing in this country. And we're going to continue to work to improve the public perception of public education and the education professionals. We're going to continue to work to secure equal opportunity for all students. You visit a school in my school district. I come from Bucks County, the Council Rock School District. You visit one of their classrooms and then maybe go into a classroom in the Reading School District. There's a world of difference. Just environmentally,
Yeah. There's
a world of difference. And it saddens me that the message that we are sending to our future leadership in this Commonwealth, the message we're sending is that you're not important to us. And it's okay if you are in a building that it has not been renovated in 30 years. And that's wrong. And we need to do better.
No, I'm with you. I just spent 2 days in Washington, D.C. with the American Federation of Teachers Teach Conference. And we talked with, you know, their leadership there in D.C. And it's all the same across the country. You're seeing this frame of the deserving and the undeserving. And it's here in Pennsylvania as well. And it comes back down to funding. It comes down to facilities. It comes down to, well, kind of the state of mind of our political leaders.
I really am troubled to believe that even as our lawmakers set these policies and underfund our schools, that they could consciously say that it is okay for two students in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to be given educational opportunities that are not even remotely close to each other. I don't believe that they are looking outside of the districts that they represent.
I hope you're right. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I would. But sadly, what we've seen in this country and here in the Commonwealth as well is this Hunger Games. We keep hearing, Dolores, that we're broke. We don't have the money. It would be a nice luxury to be able to get those kids new books or desks or computers or a roof on the school or a nurse or, a librarian. It'd be great to have the funds. We just don't have it.
Well, I think that's probably not necessarily true. Part of me wonders if the plan behind all this is let's make sure that we underfund our schools, and as we underfund them, then we can continue to say that our public education is failing. I think Joe Biden once said, show me your budget, I'll show you your priorities.
Yes.
And it's very apparent that our legislators have not made public education, not all of them. Obviously, there are some of them that would raise the PIT if it meant getting more money into our schools. But then there are those that their ideology is just that I will not raise taxes, and it doesn't matter who will benefit from those taxes being raised.
Yep.
As a resident in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, if my personal income tax was raised by 0.5%, I don't believe I would feel that. I don't believe most of the residents of Pennsylvania would feel that. But what a difference that would make to our kids.
Or if we did something sane like have a progressive graduated income tax to where the bigger your shoulders, the more water you carry, taking us back to the days of the cave, we had something like that. I don't know that the very wealthy in this state would mind either, especially if you're talking about, being able to educate all children so we stop and cut off this prison pipeline that ends up getting kids who don't get an education because a whole plethora of reasons, and then end up with no opportunities and no choice and no chances and end up behind bars.
Rick, now you're just making sense. Maybe you need to run for office.
No, I mean, but it seems like sense because you're talking about, I just had this conversation last week where you're spending $40,000 a year to lock someone up and you're only spending $6,000 or $7,000 or maybe $8,000 to educate them. There's something seriously messed up when you're not making that initial investment.
And it almost gets tiring to say that the education you receive should not depend on the zip code where you live.
Right.
But that is the most honest way to put this. And that's what it is. If you were to fund all of our schools so that every student was getting a top-notch education because the opportunities were there for them, the resources were there for the people who are in the schools working to teach those kids, if you were to do that, then it really wouldn't matter what your zip code was. And would that then not raise and elevate homeownership in those communities all across the Commonwealth?
Yeah. It would be fantastic. But at the end of it, we keep hearing this, Dolores, that you can't throw money at a problem, Dolores. Sorry, you just can't do it.
Well, if I have a problem in my home with a leaky roof, I throw money at it. And that seems to fix the problem. I believe that they haven't thrown money. They've taken money out of the schools. They refuse to deal with the inequitable charter school funding formula. That would drive money back to the school district, and particularly when it comes to cyber charter schools, schools that are not brick and mortar, that are receiving funding as if they were brick and mortar schools. If we were to fund our schools, I mean, we have the worst record in the country of the funding that we give to our schools. And again, I think it shows the priorities of the people who are making our laws. I don't want to believe that these are the priorities of the citizens of Pennsylvania. I don't believe they're okay with this.
No, I don't think so either. But, our political leaders seem to be all on board, and they use such nice, soft language. I mean, we should have choice. I go, yeah, give me a true choice of a well-funded public school. Give me that choice. We don't have that right now. And, the thing that you said a moment ago, they're defunding it to kind of create this crisis. In my view, and you can agree or disagree, they're creating this crisis so that they can then swoop in, privatize, and give us more failing charters or, heaven forbid, vouchers, so we can have a theocratic education system. I mean, it just seems to me that, it's so apparent, it's so blatant that it can be almost nothing else.
Well, and as this is all happening, there are people who are becoming wealthy on taxpayer dollars. And those taxpayer dollars do not have the same transparency that they have in a public school.
Right. Well, I mean, speaking of taxpayer dollars and making someone wealthy, I mean, next year there's a possibility that baby Trump could be governor of Pennsylvania, and you end up with a guy like Scott Wagner, who made his money off of the backs of taxpayers and now wants to go and basically destroy the commons, an education system held by we the people. And, oh, by the way, pursue all of the no rights at work agenda that the Scott Walkers of the world and the Koch brothers and the wealth class want to push down on us.
And I think the difference between Scott Walker and Scott Wagner is Scott Walker did not make his intentions known before he was elected governor.
Right.
So the citizens of Wisconsin were blindsided by what he did when he went into office. Scott Wagner has made his intentions very well known. And I trust that the voters of Pennsylvania will do the right thing when it comes time to elect a governor in 2018.
Now, let me ask you this. Last week, Randy Weingarten, the president of AFT, said that, this privatization and disinvestment are only slightly more polite cousins of segregation. I'm curious, do you agree or disagree?
I think if you look at what's happening, if you go into those communities where charter schools are the school of choice, there are starting to be articles written about whether or not they really are schools of choice, that they are not your traditional public school that accepts every child who lives in that community, that they can discriminate. They can claim to have a lottery that doesn't exist. And I think that we are right back to where we were, and that is children are going to schools outside of their communities. There are schools that are making choices as to the kind of students they want to have in their schools. And again, that leads to what is left behind in the public school and allows them to continue to label that school as failing,
while simultaneously taking money out of both schools. And again, I look at charters and I liked the idea from the start, but it's turned into just a way to suck taxpayer dollars out of both systems while failing kids. Because look, the studies are fairly conclusive. Charter schools don't do any better than public schools. A handful do better and a lot more do worse. It just seems like an experiment that's run its course. And for me, the idea of having a fully funded public community school seems to be the right direction.
And I would think that that's what every parent would want for their child, that their child could go to school in the community that they have chosen to live in with the neighborhood children. Is the role of a community school.
Or, even when I was a kid, I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland. We didn't have much of a choice where we lived. We lived in a housing project. The school there should have been a high-quality school as well. And as someone who came from poverty, I look at the kids right. growing up today, and I don't know that the pathways out of poverty that I was able to take are there for this generation of kids. And I fear for them.
And they're not there for every child. And why, as a society, do we punish a child because of opportunities that were not afforded to their parents, and now we punish the child for that? And what we're doing is just allowing that cycle to repeat itself.
Yeah, it's sad stuff, and this is why I think it's so important that folks like you, organizations like PSEA, are out there fighting for kids, and why I think it's such a great thing, and I'm thrilled that our governor has chosen your president to become the Secretary of the Department of Labor. This can only be a good thing for workers in the Commonwealth.
I agree. We could not be more proud.
Dolores, I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and talk with us often as you take your tenure there as president of PSEA.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Dolores McCracken. Again, if you want to check out their website, psea.org, we'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com if you can check that out. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
School days.